As you've probably figured out, Thomas is not here again today. And I don't think this gentleman over here needs any introduction anymore because he's been a fill-in for us quite a few times. But if you've not met him yet, this is Ransom Ebersole. He does a lot of work around the community for churches and whatnot. So, Ransom, it's all yours.
If I've not greeted you yet, good morning. Good morning. I have a question for you. How many of you, when you were children, said something along the lines of, when I grow up, I'm going to be... What were you going to be? Tell me. Police officer. What else?
Fireman.
Fireman. Did someone say crazy? Well, let me tell you what I was going to be. I was going to be a professional baseball player. I love baseball, and I enjoy watching it now. I got a question. How many of you that had something achieved what you said, when I grow up, I'm going to be? Yeah, some of you did. Some of you never grew up. But I did not achieve becoming a professional baseball player. But I have, in my life, I've seen a lot of really great baseball moments. And one of my favorites was from one of my favorite baseball players, Willie Mays. He made an absolutely incredible catch in the World Series way back in 1954. Willie went on to become one of the greatest baseball players of all time. At one time, you could actually hear him talk about how confident he was, about how great he wanted to become, but it wasn't always that way. There's some things that a lot of people don't know about Willie Mays, and one is that when he first came up to the major leagues, he actually got off to a pretty awful start. In his first week, while batting, he went 0 for 22. Would you say that's good or bad? I'd say it's pretty bad. Well, one day his manager, who was Leo the Lip DeRocher, came in and he found Willie crying in the dugout. And Willie spoke to Leo and he said, I just don't belong here. I need to be sent back to the minor leagues. I'm just not up to par here. And so DeRocher looked at Mays right in the eyes, and this is what he said. As long as I'm the manager of the Giants, you are going to be my center fielder. I think he said that because he saw something that Willie Mays, matter of fact, a lot of people did not see in him. You know, I got to thinking about that, and I realized that sometimes it's exactly the same way in the church. Sometimes people want to quit serving Jesus before they're hardly started. Oh, they're willing and they're ready to receive the saving grace that God brings. But when it comes to making their lives count for Jesus, and things don't go quite as smoothly as they would like, they simply want to quit. They don't see themselves, unfortunately, the way that God sees them. They don't claim this great, great gift of grace. It really is an amazing view, this grace thing. Over the years, something that I've learned about grace is that as amazing as receiving grace is, living this grace-filled life is equally amazing. There's a great verse in Ezekiel 36 that describes the process when God said this: I will give you a new heart, and I'll put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you, and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to follow and keep my laws. How many of you would put that in the amazing category? I know that I certainly would. And so think about it. When God's grace does its work in our lives, we go from being cruel to being kind, from being greedy to becoming generous, from being self-obsessed to becoming others-centered. And a huge step in that direction is recognizing our great need for change. Listen to what Jesus had to say about change. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous. I've come to bring sinners to repentance. So here's the problem. A lot of people will go through life and they think, so-and-so is sick, but not me. I'm perfectly well. Oh, the signs are all around. They have more than their share of bad habits. Sometimes they have a destructive behavior about them. Sometimes they have imploding relationships. And yet they think this, oh, I'm okay. It's everyone else that has the problem. But Scripture has this to say. There is none righteous, not even one. So when Jesus says, I've not come to call the righteous, but I've come to call sinners to repentance, think about it and then guess who he's talking about. That's right, it's the person you looked at in the mirror this morning to make yourself beautiful. So today we're going to be looking at the story of a man who realized that he was a sick puppy. But then we're going to shift gears and see how it applies to us. It's actually the story of a man you've probably heard of before. It's the story of Zacchaeus. And I want to start by just reading the story from Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So Zacchaeus came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and they began to mutter, he's gone to the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. Then Jesus said, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. I love that story. It's really a great story. But you know, it's a whole lot more than just a good story. It actually teaches us something very important. It teaches us about the transforming power of God's grace that occurs in our lives. And so one thing that this story teaches us is that God will not give up on you, even if everybody else has. Now, to put it mildly, Zacchaeus was not a very popular guy because he was the dreaded and the hated tax collector. And so what he deserved, according to the people, was a big old boo. Well, what else do we know about Mr. Zacchaeus? Well, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. That's all I'm doing. However, I wondered as I read that if God was leading Luke to talk about more than just Zacchaeus's physical stature. Here was a man that was not only small in stature, but may have also been very small in his character. Whether it's one or both, here's a man that wanted to see Jesus so much that he climbed a tree just to get even a glimpse of him. And that's when things get very, very interesting. Jesus saw Zacchaeus up in the tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come on down." And then he did something that seems a bit strange. He invited himself to go to Zacchaeus' house. Well, when that happened, how did the crowd react? More booing, more hissing, more grumbling. In their opinion, Jesus had no business going to this low-life sinner's house. Especially that nasty old tax collector. Ick! Well, the crowd, you see, had decided that Zacchaeus was not a man worth saving. And I think that's where things get even more interesting. Because you see, the people might have given up on Zacchaeus, but not Jesus. Jesus saw something that only God can see in people. You see, he didn't see who Zacchaeus was. He saw who Zacchaeus could become. Okay, what's next? I think that's where things get extremely interesting. When Jesus looks at you, he doesn't merely see who you are right this second today. He sees the person that you can become. Maybe the rest of the crowd will look at you and they'll only see your foibles, your failures, your faults, your sins. Maybe they've given up on you. At times, maybe you've even given up on yourself. I don't know. Well, I want you to know today that Jesus has not given up on you. So my friends, don't give up on yourself, because Jesus has not. Don't listen to the crowd. Listen to Jesus, because that's important. Okay, here's the second thing I want you to notice about this great story. Change can and must begin right now. As I read this story, there were actually several words that jumped out at me. Zacchaeus came down immediately. Jesus said, "I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus came down at once. And then after an encounter with Jesus, Zacchaeus said, "Here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor." And then Jesus said, "Today, salvation has come to this house." And so I think one of the great morals of this story is, rather than waiting until tomorrow or next week or next year or when things get better, change needs to begin right now, today. Jesus is saying this, "Let me come into your house, into your life today. Welcome me into your home and into your heart right now. Let me help you become the person that you can be right away. Now, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't put it off any longer. You don't have to wait until you're good enough. He accepts you as you are right now. He'll transform you. He'll change you right now. And so when is the best time to come to Christ? Right now. But wait, I want you to know that I'm talking to every single one of you. And that includes people that have already been Christ followers. Maybe you've been a Christ follower for years, maybe decades. And you've put off taking that final step of transformation. Perhaps you have this bad habit that just keeps nagging at you. And all you do is pretend it doesn't exist. Or maybe there's some sin in your life that's haunting you and you pretend it's not so bad. Maybe you've got some kind of a dream of what you can do or who you can be, but you keep pushing it off, waiting for a better day. Well, here's what I have to say about that. Get over it. Today is the day. Or as I would say, this is the best Sunday you'll have all week. So just make that day today. Your transformation in your life can begin right now. So come down out of your sycamore tree. Don't be a mere observer. Get involved. Let Jesus go to work in your life. But do it today. Don't put it off. Now, all that being said, here's the third thing I want you to see. Transformation always begins with a first step. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." And then Jesus said this, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Now, we're in a bit of a tricky territory here, and so I want to make something perfectly clear before I go on. Zacchaeus was not saved because he gave his money to the poor. He gave his money to the poor because Jesus saved him. He experienced the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, and it changed the very way that he lived. Now, here's what I want you to see about first steps. Jesus took a first step by inviting himself into Zacchaeus' life. He didn't wait for Zacchaeus to say, "Hey, Jesus, I'm up here." He took the first step. Zacchaeus then took his first step by actually accepting the invitation. And because of that, his life was completely transformed. So here's a few things that I've learned about Zacchaeus' first step. Number one, it was a personal step. He dealt with something very dear to his heart, his money. And the fact that he probably hadn't come all by all of it honestly, he dealt with that. Next thing in, it was public. He said it in front of everyone, for everyone to hear. The next word is, it was possible. He didn't promise more than he could actually deliver. He just did what he could with what he had. He could give away half of his wealth, and he would still have plenty to pay back his ill-gotten gain and continue to support himself and his family. The next thing is, for Zacchaeus, it was a very high priority. How do I know that? Zacchaeus said, "Here and now." It wasn't later today or I'll go home and think about it. It wasn't next month, next year. It was both right here and right now. Now then, here's the big question for you today. What's going to be your first step? Listen, my friends, I want you to know that Jesus is willing and ready to change your life right now. And so my advice is simple. Accept His grace. Take that first step. That first step toward transformation, both here and now. So, what is that first step for you? Well, for some, it may be partnering with this congregation by placing membership with them and becoming one of this gathering and then serving Christ with them. What's the first step for you? It may be getting involved in the work of Christ by telling people that you run into about God's amazing grace. What is your first step? Maybe it's coming out of your seat and coming and giving your life to Christ and allowing God's grace to do its amazing work in your life. What's your first step? I don't know you well enough to know what that is. But I have a feeling that you might know. And I know for absolute positive certainty that God knows what it should be. But listen, friends, whatever it is, Jesus extends His amazing grace to help you get started on an absolutely amazing journey. And that journey begins with an amazing view of Jesus. You know, in wrapping up, I want to let you know that the view of Jesus from a tree is great. However, I want you to know that the view of Jesus when you're face to face with Him is even better. I want to close by reading a passage that I read last week from Titus chapter 3. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and desires. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, the one who is our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having even the hope of eternal life. I guess I have this to say about that. Wow! This grace thing really is amazing. And so listen, my friends. Jesus is here with us today. And He's telling you, come on down out of that tree so that He can get into your life, so that you can begin this amazing journey with the Master of the universe, with Jesus, the Son of the living God. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, I thank You for Your wisdom to put